Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And, Jim, just yesterday we were looking at a new USA Today poll, which showed good things potentially for the eventual Republican nominee in the swing states. Both Gingrich and Romney are slightly ahead of President Obama. Enthusiasm way up for Republicans, way down for Democrats. And now there's a new survey out from Gallup, which suggests that things could also very much be moving in a conservative direction. According to Gallup, an overwhelming 64% of people surveyed said big government was the biggest threat to the country, compared to just 26% who said big business is their gravest concern, and 8% who picked big labor. That's not the end of the good news. 82% of Republicans said big government was the biggest threat, no surprise. 64% of independents, and shockingly to me, Jim, 48% of Democrats. Now, perhaps their perception of what big government entails is a little bit different than ours, but if you got almost half the Democrats saying that big government's a problem, I'm not sure exactly how you keep making the argument for more and more spending like the president's doing. If these numbers are anywhere close to right, his campaign strategy is headed for big-time trouble, and that is great news.
Yeah, it is. It's one of those things where if you're David Axelrod, if you saw that, you may need to change your underwear. I mean, this is the centerpiece of Obama's campaign message right now, as seen as that speech out in the Midwest. Basically saying, aren't rich people the boogeyman? Aren't they scary? Aren't they menacing? And aren't they the real problem in your life? And this suggests that no. Now, I think one of the things it's worth noting about this, you talk about big business. You know, I mean, if you're conservative, you could certainly have gripes with banks that took TARP funds, and you feel like, you know, they were very reckless and the government bailed them out. I could see, I don't know how you count GM, whether that counts as big business or big government or both. We're in the era of the hybrid of crony capitalism. And then the third one, you know, like, do people have a beef with Apple? Not really. At least I don't think so. I think they like their iPods and their iTunes and the, you know, iPads and all these neat gadgets they do. They're drinking Coca-Cola products. They're not, you know, furious at Coca-Cola. The world is full of big businesses, and some of them are going to be good, some are going to be bad. They look at government itself, though, and I think it's very, very hard to argue, looking at America in the year 2011, that government is too small. I think it's very hard to argue government is spending too little. I think it's very hard to argue that government is regulating Americans' lives too little and needs to take a much bigger we need to take a great big step in the direction of an even larger nanny state. I think that, you know, and I think that shows the heart of the problem with Obama's argument is that he, you know, despite his whining about the weather, et cetera, he's largely gotten his way in a lot of areas since taking office, and things seem worse. He has not delivered the hope and change. So Americans, I think, are recoiling from this. They're realizing he is not what he sold himself as, and it seems like they're ready to take a dramatic step in what we would say both the small R right and the capital R right direction. Now it's just a question of who gets to make that articulate that argument in 2012.
I'm still scratching my head here, Jim, because it says 26% said big business is their gravest concern. I've been told that's 73 points too low, because 99% of Americans are convinced that it's Wall Street and crony capitalism that's the biggest problem here. So on to martini number two now. Wisconsin went through a recall phase for some of their state lawmakers earlier this year because they backed Scott Walker in his efforts to balance the budget, horror of all horrors. But the big centerpiece of that was, of course, was asking union members to kick in a little bit more to their benefits package and to their pensions. He also curtailed collective bargaining rights. And so a couple of those senators actually did get recalled. There's now a one-seat majority for Republicans. And now enough time has elapsed that Walker himself is the subject of a recall effort. They need 540,000-plus signatures. The supporters of this recall effort say they've got about 300,000. But one thing we've already determined is that there are, let's just say, less than credible names on these petitions, including Mickey Mouse and Adolf Hitler. You'd think those would get thrown out. Unfortunately, the Government Accountability Board in Wisconsin reviews petitions, but reviewers, according to this story from WISN-TV, says reviewers will look to see that signatures are accompanied by a Wisconsin address, and basically they will flag them but not strike them without challenge. They say Hitler's name has appeared before, Jim, and the only reason he didn't get that signature counted was because the address was listed as Germany, and if you live in Germany, you can't vote in Wisconsin. Otherwise, Adolf Hitler is perfectly fine.
Yikes. I have a lot of off-color comments, and I'm going to try to clean some of them up. For starters, Greg, I can not see the logic in this position. I look at this, and I suppose the you know, anti-Walker folks might argue that they're just following orders. I understand they were asked for comment and said they know nothing, nothing. There's a little bit of irony of this, because as we recall from those protests, with disturbing regularity, the protesters would insist that Scott Walker, they'd have Scott, you know, posters saying Scott Walker is Hitler. And their justification was that Hitler was anti-union. And it was, this is kind of Jonah Goldberg's area of expertise, but basically National Socialism, this is not a movement of the right. This is not a corporatist movement. The entire argument of the Nazis was that, you know, private enterprise should be serving the state, which is not quite as different from the arguments of those folks on the left as they would like. So, one, the entire argument is silly. The fact that Adolf Hitler is on their petition signature, it's kind of, one, it shows that the folks who are collecting these petitions aren't reading them that closely. Two, that they are don't really care who's signing or what. Three, wouldn't you be a little embarrassed to turn in a petition that had something like that? It's kind of marveling at their thick-headedness of this. I suppose I shouldn't have extremely high expectations. I suppose I should just be glad that they're not breaking up to a chorus of Tomorrow Belongs to Me without noting the irony of that show tune from Cabaret. But I just, you know, look, this is you know, and they'll, you know, at the exact same time, we'll hear from Democrats, you know, that voter ID laws are somehow inherently repressive and that there's no such thing as voter fraud.
Well, that's what's happening. There's also a challenge to voter ID requirements in Wisconsin because minorities will be disenfranchised, an issue which we've, of course, covered before.
So Mr. Hitler and Mr. Mouse must be registered to vote in Wisconsin and must, you know, but we don't have to make them bring photo ID.
No, and the scary part, I mean, as funny as this is, this could obviously impact the decision on Scott Walker, but if Mickey Mouse and Adolf Hitler are allowed to vote in this election, they're allowed to vote in the 2012 presidential election, and who knows what potentially legitimate addresses are being thrown on there, and the way that this is being covered, they'll probably get several voter ID cards, all the same residence. So,
do you know what I say to this whole thing, Greg?
What?
I object. You know how strongly I object?
How?
I say 999.
Herman Cain weighing in there as well. With
I owe him a dime, actually, in light of using that. But I'm, yeah. That concludes the Nazi joke portion of today's programming.
On to martini number three now. And some of our listeners who may have had issues with an endorsement or at least a recommendation that Jim made in the 2010 Senate race in Delaware, get your typing fingers ready, because here we go. Christine O'Donnell has endorsed Mitt Romney, saying that he is the most trustworthy candidate in the race. Christine O'Donnell, of course, patterned herself after Sarah Palin and basically identified herself as the true conservative in the race against the incumbent congressman who's running for the Senate seat, Mike Castle, that he was just an establishment figure who was really a liberal. A lot of the same thing has been said about Mitt Romney, obviously ranging from his health care record in Massachusetts to some other issues that he dealt with. And the idea that he's the most conservative person in the race, kind of hard to believe. She's welcome to endorse whoever she feels like endorsing. Perhaps she feels like he's the most electable, but the idea that he's the most conservative just doesn't ring real true here, Jim.
I get accused of being a Romney bot all the time. I generally have, you know, fairly positive feelings towards Governor Romney, but Greg, I don't know about you, this really shakes my faith in Mitt Romney. Nothing, you know, and it's not merely that, look, if O'Donnell backs somebody, I figure I must back somebody else. I'm a little unnerved that conceivably she and I could end up on the same page. And the fact that his campaign touted this, was really? Really, Governor Romney? You think this is what you need to, you know, get you that nomination in a tough fight with Newt? Really? I kind of figured that everybody else would be kind of hoping it wasn't them. I guess, however, she can offer a very convincing argument that Romney is not a flip-flopper. You know what she said, Greg?
What's that?
He's not a switch.
And as the groans come in the virtual world, we'll leave it there. Jim, have a great day.
Looking forward to tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us on Thursday for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch.